pray for a blessing on them. Pray for a blessing the people at family camp. And Lord, just bless the church and bless the school that's here, Lord. And just help your work to be done here, Lord. And just guide us and give us a blessing tonight, Lord. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You can tell by the songs we're kind of going with the theme of the crowns. I want to look at today. You know, if you're anything like me, you spend about 99% of your time just dealing with things of the world and these things that are going to burn and just don't really matter. Even these things, a lot of times we equate things of the flesh with, you know, like drunkenness, adultery, or, you know, murder, those kinds of things. But even our day-to-day things, I mean, yes, we need to provide food, we need to have a house, we need to have a car, but, you know, do we necessarily need to spend as much time and energy on these things as we do, to the point where they may become an idol and take away from the things of God? So what I want to do is look at today is look at the things that are eternal, the things that God is going to reward, the things that God will give us a crown for, to kind of reset our mindset and make sure that we're on the right track and that our goals are the same as God's goals. So the first thing I want to look at is I'm going to burn through a lot of verses. If you want to follow along, that's fine. Otherwise, I'll look them up and read them. I promise I'll read them correctly from the right Bible. So Romans 8, 5 through 6. Romans 8, 5 through 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So talking about these things, you know, where your heart is where you're going to put your energy. Also Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21 talks about these same things. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So like I said, these things of the world, these things are going to burn. I got to truck up there that if you don't drive it every week, it goes down and you got to bring it into the mechanic, and you know, houses atrophy and clothes rip, and these things are all going to burn. They're not where it's at, and there's not really what we should be putting our efforts into. As I was studying this, there's kind of five agreed upon crowns in the Bible. But as I did a study and looking in with pastors' references, it seems to be that there's a possibility of seven crowns, which I thought was interesting. Five are kind of commonly accepted, but there are a couple other ones in there as well, which I thought were neat. First one comes from Proverbs 17, verse 6. And this is one of the ones that I wasn't aware of until I really kind of did a deep dive into the study. Proverbs 17, 6, it talks about children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. This is an idea that sort of like parents and grandparents will be awarded a crown for raising their children in the Lord, which was interesting because that was a different one than I had heard before. So that makes for one crown there, is just raising godly children. Second one is a more well-known crown. That's the incorruptible crown. And that's talking about the ones that put down the fleshly appetites. Those are found in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. First Corinthians 9, 24 to 27 talks about, Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore I run not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached it to otherwise, I myself should be cast away. So what he's talking about there is like comparing an athlete that makes all these sacrifices that are, in a way, it's suffering. There's a lot of these guys that will go 180 days, they'll go 6 months with a clean, with the Olympics and that. They'll have a clean diet. They won't break a diet for these days. Every day is kind of a drudgery. They go in and they do their diet, their sleep, their time is all around that sport that they're trying to achieve greatness at so they can compete in a world stage. They have to forgo going out to eat with friends. They have to forgo, doing the things that most people do in order to achieve that kind of greatness. And that's a lot of hard work. Sometimes it's kind of a bland life, but that's what they do. And they subject their bodies to the hardship for the sake of the sport. And what Paul is talking about is subjecting himself to those sorts of things. And then at the end he says, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Just talking about keeping himself in along those same lines and showing that discipline. Paul also compares this Christian life in order to gain this incorruptible crown to the life of a soldier in 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 12. Now, these are all familiar passages. So 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 12. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man striveth for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. So once again, incorruptible crown. These verses, if you look at verse 5, it talks about that we will be crowned, except that he strive lawfully. So in verse 5, it talks about that we'll be crowned. And then in verse 12, it talks about if we suffer, we'll reign. So this talks about that reign that we'll have with Christ. If anyone's ever been in the military or at least knows about that, your life is all about the military. You live in a barracks, you eat in a chow hall, you train, they own you, that's what you do. And that's that same, he's not entangled with, he's not worried about my mortgage payment or anything like that. These soldiers are not entangled with anything but keep training and fighting to save their lives and other people's lives, not entangled with the things of the world. So that making that comparison, and our Christian walk should be similar. And we need to be able to accept a level of suffering. And it's not always being thrown to the lions in the Colosseum, but it can be just rejection. If you're a Christian, you're going to get a level of persecution. You're going to have to get outside your comfort zone. Life, you're going to miss out on some things. It can be kind of a drudgery. The world doesn't deny itself anything. The world is as fat, drunk, lazy, lustful as it wants to be. So the world can go and live however it wants and feed its flesh, and that we can't. We need to show some temperance and not go and do those things. The next crown is the soul winner's crown, or it's called the crown of rejoicing. That's found in 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 through 20. First Thessalonians 2, verses 19 through 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing are not even the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming, for ye are our glory and joy. The crown of rejoicing is also called the soul winner's crown. Look in Luke 15, verse 7. And this is why it's called the crown of rejoicing. Luke 15, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So when it's the soul winner's crown is talking about the crown of rejoicing, it's because heaven rejoices at these lost souls that are saved. We got to ask ourselves, you know, when we get up in the morning, how much of our goal is to save lost people. Some people are probably great at it, you know, great at witnessing at work, great at witnessing at a restaurant, leaving tracks, going to the gas station, leaving tracks in the pump, doing all these things. I know I, for one, could use more work at it. When I go to work, my goal is to get through the day. It isn't necessarily to try and bring lost souls to Christ, and it really should be. Should be my primary goal, not to just go and make money and get promoted or those sorts of things. It should be to win some souls to Christ, because there's a mission field right in front of all of us at some point. Another thing that with the idea of crowns is there's also this thought of precious metals and rubies and jewels and that. And this goes back to the Old Testament. If we look at gold is associated with worship. If you look at the tabernacle, the wood was overlaid with gold. A lot of the furniture was overlaid with gold. So that has a connotation of worship. So when we talk about storing up gold, that's worship for God. Redemption, there's a lot of verses in Leviticus that were, the price of redemption was paid with silver. So when we talk about storing up silver, that's talking about winning those souls for Christ. And then also in the Old Testament, they talk about precious stones as people. It's used in Proverbs 31 when they were talking about the Proverbs 31 woman, the wife of noble character. In Proverbs 31, she's compared 31:10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." So, you know, this virtue and, people are compared to these precious stones. And this idea of the precious stones being in the soul winner's crown comes from Zechariah 9:16. Zechariah 9:16. It says, "And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land." So these verses, you know, some of them seem a little bit obscure, and some of them, the Bible doesn't always make it a clear-cut thing and say, okay, this is the crown of this, or this is the crown of that. Sometimes you got to piece these things together, but that's where these come from, is these precious metals and stone represents the good work of the Spirit. And just as there's these precious metals and stones and jewels and that, there's also the things that are going to burn, the things that that don't mean anything. And that verse is found in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15. It talks about those things that are going to burn. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15. And it says, "If any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire." When I was studying about this, I just remembered a story about John Beyer. I don't know if everyone knows John Beyer up in Fort McMurray. He's one of the missionaries that comes through. He had come through one time, and me and him were working on setting up a zip line over at the Peterson Lake. We found a bunch of telephone poles, and we had, you know, elevator wire and, you know, all kinds of work that we were going through. And John just kept saying, man, this is going to burn. This is going to burn. He's, you know, joking around just because it was just, I mean, it was fun. It was good work and stuff, but it was pointless work. When we should keep John in our prayers with all the fires that are going on up at Fort McMurray and the hardships that they're having up there. But, you know, these labors, when I go to work tonight, it really doesn't, you know, moving metal from one side of a plant to another, you know, to put on a car that's going to rust, it doesn't matter. It's going to burn. It, you know, the only thing that's going to matter is if you're able to get some sort of this, you know, maybe save a soul or do something like that. The rest of these things are just, they're just kind of alongside the, they're not real relevant. These other crowns, James 1, verse 12, is the crown of life. These are talking about those Christians that endure temptations until death or martyrdom. So James 1, verse 12. And this isn't something that we think about a whole lot because we're not in that situation yet. Hopefully we won't be. James 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So it talks about enduring temptations. Revelations 2, verse 10 also talks about this. Revelations 2:10, fear none of those things that shall suffer. Thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So that's what they talk about, this crown of life. Those people that suffer severe persecution. And there are those Christians in the world that are being tortured and killed for Christ. We think about right now, these sorts of things go on in China and Korea, the Arab countries, Africa. I mean, there are Christians that are going on and they're being killed and all these things because of their faith. We joke around about other races and stuff like that here, but, you know, the truth of the matter is that not everybody in heaven is going to be a white Midwesterner. There's going to be some heroes of faith that are people of color. We should be grateful that we're not under that kind of pressure, and we should pray for our Christian brothers and sisters that are under that kind of persecution, that are called to suffer and be true to the faith until the Lord takes them home. The next crown is the crown of righteousness, and it comes from 2 Timothy 4, 8 through 10. It's talking about those that love his appearing, people that aren't connected to the world, people that are waiting for the second coming of Christ so that we can get up on out of here. 2 Timothy 4, 8 through 10. It says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. It talks about the crown of righteousness, those that love his appearing, those people that are waiting for him to come back, that are more connected to heaven than they are to earth. 8 through 10 talks about, do thy diligence and come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Paul had his companion Demas, and he got caught up in the bright lights of Rome. Situation was that Paul was in prison, and he was suffering for the Lord. Demas was not in prison, so he was in Rome and saw all the splendor of Rome and got caught up in that, and he ended up bailing out on his friend Paul. He left him and wanted to enjoy the things that were going on in Rome rather than sit in a prison and suffer with Paul. The Bible says in James 4:4 that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Love towards the world is hateful towards God. And you can see you just really cannot be favored in this world and be right with God. I like to look up the news, but if you can't even look up the news without it, I try and have like the most objective one, look at like BBC or something like that, but you can't even look up the news without the world's filthy agenda just being stuffed down your throat. It's kind of an amazing thing where, you know, they'll have, okay, this, you know, the American university in Afghanistan is being attacked, and then right under it they'll have, you know, that, you know, something that the Kardashians did or some ridiculous thing like that. So they're pushing an agenda, you can't even, they admit that they do. I was reading a thing today that they admit that they, you know, put a slant towards some candidates and try and hurt others, and you know, they're just pushing an agenda. They're not even trying to. So something is innocent. You know, I'm not looking at a bad website. I'm just trying to find out what's going on in the world. But something as innocent as that could, you know, turns into something that you can hardly do, because the world pushes its agenda so bad. So we just cannot be friends with the world at all. We need to start thinking about storing up those treasures in heaven and doing the things that we want to be have God find us doing when he returns. Picture of this worldly Christian who it was attached to the things of the world and is going to have everything burned and kind of be left with nothing is Lot. If you look at Lot, was a compromiser. He's a picture of like a backslidden or worldly Christian. He chose to live amongst the Sodomites and Sodom and Gomorrah, and when all was said and done, everything he owned was burnt. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. He became the father of the Ammonites and the Moabites, which were enemies of God and enemies of Israel. In the New Testament, he gets to be the picture of a carnal Christian who loses everything but his salvation. And that's when you come before God, and you know, just as you can gain crowns, you can lose crowns. Those things can be burnt and destroyed, and you can lose them. 2 Peter 2, 6 through 8 talks about Mr. Lot. So 2 Peter 2, 6 through 8, and says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that live after that should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." So he chose to live in a situation that would be continually vexing, for whatever reason, his own gain or to have influence or whatever else, and it had huge repercussions on his life. So it wasn't a good thing for Mr. Lot. The next crown is the crown of glory, and that's found in this is for the faithful pastor who preaches the pure word of God. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4 talks about the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4 says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples unto the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So that's talking about the elder people in the church and the faithful pastor receiving this crown of glory from, you know, when the good shepherd returns, the under shepherds living that true life, a pure life, teaching these pure words of God, that there's that crown of glory for that person as well. And it's a temptation. I mean, people can easily fill a church, you know. Our church preaches the King James Bible. If you go right down the street to a bunch of other churches and they fill it with the world's music, they don't have any dress or behavior standards. It's basically just middle-class entertainment for, you know, people to feel good about their wicked lives, throw some, you know, money in a collection plate and everything's good. I know that I talked to some guys at work, and they actually have some of the churches out here will meet in Crown Point at one of the bars, and they'll you know, drink beer and talk about God, you know. So it's just, you know, yeah, you can fill a church if you're doing that. If it doesn't cost you anything, and if it doesn't, you don't have to change anything, you can easily fill a church if there's no standard. So these these under shepherds who hold the line and do the right thing, there's a crown associated with that. And then I talked about this is an accepted fifth crown, but another one that comes through that. I'm sorry, so the seventh crown that comes with this is not only those that are a vocational pastor, but also those that love and exalt the word of God. So it talks about that there's a crown for those people as well. And that comes from Job 31, 35, and 36. This idea of this other crown, and this was interesting to me because it was something that I had never heard of. Like I said, there's five crowns that are pretty well known, but these other two, the one being, you know, the parents and grandparents that raise these godly kids, but then this is the other one that goes along with the pastor, the vocational pastor. It's just those people who love and exalt the word of God. So Job 31, 35, and 36. Job obviously going through all his things. He says, "Oh, that one that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book." Obviously, there wasn't a Bible at that time. Said, "Surely I would take it upon my shoulder, and I'd bind it as a crown to me." So there's this idea of the Word of God and valuing that, the Word of God, also getting this crown. Also in Proverbs 4, 7 through 9, it also talks about this. It says, Proverbs 4, 7 through 9, it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee honor, and when thou dost embrace her, she shall give thee a head, an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, so shall she deliver to thee." So this crown of glory, also talking about this gathering wisdom. Wisdom comes from the word of God. So that's something that was interesting to me. I said it's a lesser known version of this. Everyone knows that the pastor gets a crown, but also that those people that that hold to that word of God and love the word of God and exalt the word of God will also get a crown. With all of this, you know, what we're talking about here is a level of persecution, a level of not. You know, you're depriving yourself of some things. You're talking about a level of rejection, and God has already made an example. Every member of the Godhead has been rejected. If you look at it, God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost were all rejected by the world. The Israelites, when they were a theocracy, they asked for a king. They wanted to be like the other nations. They didn't want to be ruled by God. So they had rejected God the Father in 1 Samuel 8, verse 7. We all know what happened to Jesus. So God the Son came, you know, perfect in every way and teaching these wonderful things and doing miracles, and they killed him. So Jesus was rejected. And also the Holy Spirit was rejected when it talks about when Stephen was preaching, he was under the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was, he gave a message that was directed by the Holy Spirit in Acts 7, 54 and 55. So every member of the Trinity was rejected. So, you know, God doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already gone through. If they reject God himself, they're going to reject us. So it's just something that we need to do. And once again, that goes back to that, you know, if we suffer, we will reign with him. So what's the end result? What is the end result? What is going to happen with all these? You know, we store up these crowns. So what's going to happen, you know, at the at the judgment seat of Christ and at the great white throne judgment. Judgment seat of Christ for the believers, and a great white throne judgment for the unbelievers. Everybody's going to be rewarded accordingly or punished accordingly to their life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Talks about that. Just as we can gain crowns, we can also lose them. 2 John, let's see, 2 John 7 and 8. It says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So we're going to be rewarded, but we can also lose these things. If you know, we can lose and backslide and then have a different kind of end. Revelation 4, 10 and 11. It talks about the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before his throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The Bible doesn't talk specifically and say who these 24 elders are, but they, you know, it seems to be a that they're representatives of the church and the redeemed of the world. They're not going to be angels, because it doesn't talk about angels reigning with Christ. It talks about the redeemed, and talks about the church reigning with Christ, that they would rule. So Revelation 2, 26 and 27. And say, it says, He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he that rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter, shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And then Revelation 5:10. And he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So the idea is the judgment seat of Christ. We, you know, if you suffer with him, you know, you're gonna reign. If you deny him, he'll deny you. So that's, you know, that's our thing, would be taking these crowns, having some sort of thing to cast at Jesus' feet, having some sort of gift to give him for all that he's done for us, and that we will rule with him, and you know, and be part of his kingdom. Now, people who reject God's plan of salvation and the at the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, 11 through 15. So this battle is already won. It's not like a question. You know, when we go into a war, you don't know if you're going to win or not. The Bible tells us that this battle is won. So you can either choose to be on that winning side, or you can choose not to be. And these people chose not to be on the winning side. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And this is where just everything gets made right. You know, people get rewarded for what they've done, and people get punished for the bad deeds that they've done. And it says, And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And when I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So that's, you know, that is the end of that they're going to face. Everyone's going to acknowledge the Creator. Everyone's going to kneel before God. You know, whether they believe in, you know, whether they're going to heaven or not, everything's going to be set right, and all are going to be rewarded and punished according to God's plan and to man's free will. So that is all I got. Does anyone have any comments, or does anyone have any questions? about this. I know it's a lot of information, a lot of Bible. No? All right. I'll take, does anyone have any prayer requests?